This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today. We today have on the table, Bill is here again. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Gaia. It's good to see you again. It's great to be back.
And Emmy van Halder. We are friends too, I will admit, you know, to our public.
Yes, admit that.
So I might ask some questions that, you know, friends can ask. But anyway, Emmy, really welcome. And you are part of the board, a board member of Business's Mission in Netherlands. And we look forward to hearing your story and hearing your walk. You know, the theme of this podcast is, you know, how do we find this life in God? And we look forward to hear from you what your walk is and your experience. And so tell us a little bit, who is Emmy? What is your background? How did you end up with Business's Mission?
Well, thanks for having me anyway. I really think it's an honor to be in this company and to talk a little bit about my path with and without the Lord, because I didn't have a 40-year experience with the Lord, I must say. I converted when I was a teenager and went to YWAM, traveled, studied, came back, went to YWAM again, blah, blah,
so
blah.
So for our listeners, Youth with a Mission, you
youth
were into mission. You
I
were
was into a mission, or I was into the fellowship of the mission. I was into the people. Yes.
And then you came back to the Netherlands?
I came back to the Netherlands, started studying. And then I started to work. And turned out I love to work. And pretty soon, actually, that took a little bit of precedent. I was working and I was less and less busy with the Lord and less involved with people from that community. And I just enjoyed working.
Because you started businesses already.
Yes. I had one job and that didn't end up very well because I was, as the Dutch say, very eigenwijs. And there's no word for it. It's opinionated, but then in a Dutch way, which is not necessarily pleasant. But so I wanted to, I thought there was a really nice niche that we could step into. And my boss said, well, really? And that was actually about PCs. And I said, everybody's going to have a computer and we better start training people. And he said, what? Everybody's going to have a computer. Are you kidding? I said, well, I think so. And that's, so then I left the company and I started my own business, training people for personal computers.
Were you successful?
Well, actually, I was always one page ahead, or maybe two. And so nobody else knew a lot about it. So I was as successful as anybody else in the field, or more so because there was nobody else. So then we got one client, and that was Philips. And so we're like, whoa, okay. Now I had to recruit all my friends to become also teachers. So that went quite well, but it was really just happening. And then 2 years later, somebody came to me and said, can I buy your business? Do you want to sell? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So that was actually, nowadays we call it an exit. But then you just sold your company. It was, okay, why not?
And you started
another one. Yeah.
And another one?
And another one, yeah. And it's when, I'm a startup person, so I'm not good at making a small company into a big one. I'm not a process person. I'm not very good at the patience it takes to really build a company, 300 people company. So the model that I'm good at is startup, go like crazy, build it a few years and sell.
But there was no time or no space for you to, or you thought Christianity was maybe boring or?
No, actually, I was very, very disappointed in the church. I came back after Youth with a Mission, and then you come to the Netherlands and you see the church here, and I'm like, okay, I don't think I feel very at home. I fell really in a very deep hole, like, oh, I want those people that I had the fellowship with, and I didn't feel at home in the church at all. And what I've discovered at that time, that you can't do Christianity on your own. You really need a community. If it's a church or whatever, it needs to be a community of brothers and sisters.
So when you hear this story, Bill, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking about how different it is from my story, because I hear the business startups and success and another and another and another. And when we got started, we had no knowledge of what we were doing, and it was more just pure survival for quite a while. So I'm intrigued to find out how the intersection with the kingdom concepts begins to come into the story.
So here you have two different people on the table with two different, you know, a missionary going to China and don't know what he's doing, starting a business. And here, kind of the entrepreneur, Poor Sang. I don't know if that's a Dutch expression, I think. I'm not sure. But, you know, the gifting of seeing things and starting and loving it. And so what brought you back to Christianity, to God?
Well, I had at that time, I had a hotel in Johannesburg, South Africa, and everything fell apart at the same time. First of all, my brother got very sick, got cancer. Secondly, I had a very big business problem, which was, there was a deal that I had done for a certain government party, and they actually didn't pay. Now, difficult. And that led to difficulties in my marriage, because my husband was a high government official. So he's like, she might not be right. There's two sides to the story. So that was really a low point. And very often you do not find the Lord when everything's going so well. So I will never forget it. It's a beautiful story, I think. I was in my hotel and there two guys came, and they were venture capital people. So they're like my kind of people. Nice guys talking. And then the girls that worked there said, are you going to church tomorrow with the pastors? And I'm like, pastors, they are investment bankers. No, they're pastors. I'm like, okay. So he invited me, this pastor, investment banker, invited me to church. I'm like, oh no, I'm afraid. I was really afraid. So, but I had to, from sort of being polite, I had to go. So there was a big tent in Johannesburg that we all went to. And far away, I heard the music. I heard the worship music. And that is scary if you're not with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's really scary. I was like, oh, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here, but I had to. So anyway, I made it through the service and back to the hotel as soon as possible. But at night, that guy just knocked on my door. And he said, this is your day. You come back to the Lord. I went, okay.
And that's
it.
You responded to that.
Yeah.
So you needed someone to say, come on, Emmy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was just strange, but it was like, yes, this is my time and I better take it.
And how long was that ago?
That is, that was in 2013. This is almost 12 years ago. And the funny thing is, he said to me after we talked, he said, well, your life with the Lord collapsed because you didn't have a church. So you have to go to church. And he said, I have a church in Amsterdam. I know a guy and I'll give him a call, etc., etc. And you should go there. And this was C3 Church. And I came back home and I Googled C3 and they said, yeah, C3 is opening a church in The Hague. And I live in The Hague. So I was there the second service they had. And I've never been back because this was actually fun. And there were lovely people. And it was, I was the oldest by far, still am. And it was just completely different. And I think, I don't know, but I mean, the life with the Lord that I have had after is much deeper than I had when I was a teenager, I must say. Even when I was on mission and going all over the place, but it was like more like, oh, we're sort of hippies together and we sing worship songs.
Bill, I always ask you to respond. So
I'm trying to parallel up some of our experiences and see if some of the things line up. So I'm intrigued. I'd like to ask a couple of questions, I think. Was the investment banker, was it important, do you think, in any way that the Lord is using somebody who wasn't a pastor per se or a traditional pastor, but somebody out of your world?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. He was the right person at the right place. An Australian coming from Bath, England to Johannesburg to talk to me.
Yeah. So you pay attention to those kinds of invitations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about the church that you go to now? Do they have an appreciation for what we would know as business as mission or just with the business realm being significant in the kingdom?
The pastor has his own company, a quite successful company, and there are more people that are in business. It's not a concept that's actually being talked about a lot, which is a bit of a pity. So yes and no, mm-hmm. But yeah, there could be more emphasis on it, I guess.
But at least you wouldn't be considered kind of what we might call a wild duck being in business or really being interested in business. In that context, it seems like that would be acceptable.
Yeah, I think in this church, there are many pastors that have a company.
Yeah.
Funnily mm-hmm. enough, but just the pastors.
Oh, okay.
So the entrepreneurial type pastors.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So how did your life then continue? You know, this is 12 years ago. You came to know Christ. What changed?
A lot changed, but what was very obvious was that actually from a business standpoint, everything went wrong. That was very... Before, you know, most things were quite successful and afterwards, not anymore. Everything I tried was just not working and that was very unusual for me. And for instance, I was really learning how to work with the Lord because I was not used to that concept at all. So I used to do my own thing. And for instance, once I was invited to become part of a company in South Africa and we had a weekend together with the founders and everything was fantastic. And I really liked the people and everything was really going very well. And then at midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up. He said, you're not going to do it. Yes, but no, don't do it. Yes, but. And I sort of didn't listen. I said, okay, I will not completely join, but I will. So I wasted half a year of my life by not listening to God. And that happened twice. So I mean, pretty stupid, but...
You know, you were this eigenwijs, yeah. Opinionated person still.
Exactly. I mean... exactly. And now, you know, this summer I had I was invited to something, also South African thing. Very interesting business. Very, very interesting. Very cool people, everything. And I knew... You're not supposed to do it. So there's 3 Christians in that group and 1 Muslim, and the Muslim is my friend. And he's like, why didn't you want to do it? I said, because I know that I shouldn't do it. The Lord doesn't tell me. But why? I said, I don't know that. But he knows, he knew then that Corona would happen. So that's why I shouldn't have done that one. And now he knows something that I don't know. Now it turns out, indeed, that they went totally, you know, they wasted 3/4 of a year because there was a door slammed in their face, not very prettily. So I'm like, see, I knew it.
So you learned to listen?
I learned to listen. And also, it was really interesting to speak to my friend and say, well, you know, the Lord talks to us and he gives us wisdom that we cannot see over the horizon, but he does. He knows the weather tomorrow and he knows everything. So,
but, you know, for some listeners, they're maybe not familiar to God speaking to you. It's just something an inner thing that you know. How does it work with you?
Yes, well, you know that you know that you know. So there's never any doubt, really, I think. Very often it's just through the word or through thoughts that come to mind. Sometimes a sermon, I don't know. You just know. Like lately in my business, I'm not very active at the moment because I ventured into social work with homeless shelters, and that takes a lot of my time. And I really know the Lord said to me a few months ago, he said, you will reap where you haven't sown. And now the other day from the Bible, that was something that I heard in my head. And now the other day I read in my Bible, you will have cities that you didn't build. And there's a whole thing about that, etc.
Again, Bill, I think you, I see you smile. It's like, yeah, I recognize some of this. Were you sometimes opinionated, or are you not this Dutch eigenwijs, you know, kind of opinionated, I know my way, you're more Chinese following? How does it work with you?
I did miss it on several occasions, but I think I had the benefit of not having any confidence in myself at all. So I didn't believe I knew what I was doing. It always felt like I was on a tightrope. You know, and I could easily make a misstep and fall and hurt everybody. And yet, to your point, Emmy, there is this confidence that you begin to gain familiarity with. And you start remembering your track record with what happens if I believe or act on what I think I'm hearing. And then you begin to accumulate successes. And you realize, okay, this really is significant. But again, for some of our listeners, if God is going to speak to me, I think he's going to speak to me about my behavior, not about business. And so I'm wondering if that was a bit of a surprise to you that he's beginning to address the business realm of your life more than some other realms.
Now, for me, not, because the business occupies so much of my brain. Mm. So if you have a conversation with a friend about business, with my friends, I usually talk about business,
right?
Because it's what occupies my brain. And funnily enough, if he talks with me, it also occupies his brain. And it's like, how are we going to do this business? You know, so we have this AI business for African languages. And it's very interesting for Bible translation, etc. And it's just very cool to see. I have no doubt in my mind that it's very, very close to God's heart, mm-hmm. how the business goes.
Please tell us, listeners, more about that, how it came about and what is it doing now.
Yeah. Okay. So there were people that I worked with before, a lady from Cameroon and her son. And I worked with them before, and I'm really impressed with the son, especially also because he was a very young guy. And they just had the idea that they wanted to build something for access to knowledge and the Bible in Africa, because there are 3,000 languages in Africa, and people are not reached. Many people are reached with the words, but also many people are just still illiterate and do not have access to books. There is a book poverty, and they don't have access to the Bible. The Bible is too expensive for most people, not available in their language, etc. So they started to think about a platform in AI. And when I heard that, I said, well, I'm in. So, and I didn't really hear from the Lord. I didn't actually, but I always felt that that was his way and that that was going to be fine. And so in every business, you have a valley of death, and you know, that you start. It's very costly, very difficult to do an AI business for languages, but I never doubted that that was what God wanted and that he would bless it. And he wouldn't bless it for me, but at least he would bless it for the boy, but he's not a boy. for the CEO and the founders, who are just very faithful people and just really, really lovely Christians. So I'm like, he's going to bless this.
Yeah, that's Batasia, yeah, right?
Batasia.
They pitched 2 years ago,
Years ago, yes.
At the Businesses Mission Congress, yes, in the Netherlands.
Yes.
And I had the CEO over for dinner. Is really
He's
a
lovely,
joy.
Yeah.
He's a joy.
Yeah.
So, and also very talented.
Very talented. Extremely talented.
Amazing,
yes,
what they did.
And very humble also, you know. So he doesn't have my problem. Let me put it away.
Well, Emmy, so how... Because that's, I think some listeners can identify, you know, that business occupies your mind. And I can identify when I suddenly, you know, have an idea about a podcast or about, I'm just totally going for it. So even in our pre-talk, you know, you were like, hey, how do I do this with the Lord?
Yeah.
And how does that, how can you kind of be committed to it and yet have his energy going with you and this communication? How do you experience it now?
Well, right now, I think the contradiction is not a contradiction. It is really just a subject to talk about, right? I was like, oh, this is God and this is business. That's not true. It's one. Mm-hmm. And for me right now, it's going through with the business, with the social work, the shelter, everything is just one thing. And I can, be happy and cook a dinner for homeless people and know that he likes that. And he also enjoys it if I win a prize for business. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. So for me, I should just look. I have stopped seeing that as a contradiction. I've just said, okay, this is it. And that works for me.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe that, or how would you explain that to listeners? You know, how, because it can be so taking your everything, you know,
all
to
consuming.
Start some.
Yeah.
All consuming, that's the right word.
One of the things that strikes me that is really helpful is Emmy just speaks about that as just the way it is. As she has no distinction, what we would call the secular sacred divide, which trips us up. It's not in her vocabulary right now. And so it's really just about walking with God. And so one of our definitions of business as mission is it's just walking with God at work. That's really, when it boils down to it, that's what it is. And so she's describing that experience of walking with God. And so it involves work, but it involves, you know, the social work, it involves whatever God wants her to do. And so I'm going to make the assumption here, and she can correct me on air publicly, is that she just is always listening. Her listening skill set is very well developed. And so as she walks through the day, she's listening to the Lord. And so if he's speaking to her about business, she hears that. And if he's speaking to her about, you know, cooking a dinner for homeless people, she hears that in the same way.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, on a scale, how well my listening capacity has developed. But doing two stupid things by not listening does teach you a lesson, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's also, you know, I live alone. So you also have less interference, mm-hmm, I would say. And what I really also believe is the time that you take and that you can take to really, you know, not have anything else going on, that's also important. Mm-hmm.
But what you also shared with me is that you know, now it seems to flow.
Yeah.
And like where before you would be on kind of more trying to make it work.
Yeah, I was struggling to say, okay, well, my mind is so consumed sometimes with a new idea, with a new business, and I don't want to, you know, cut out time from the Lord, you know. But that's just not the truth, because there is no division. So that was my struggle, but it's not anymore.
So you learn to embrace,
yeah,
also who you are.
Yeah.
And like, hey, I'm gonna flow with it.
Yeah, I guess. If I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea, act on it. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
And not think, oh, I should do this, or right. I should do this, or maybe I should pray now. No, when you have an idea and you want to communicate about it, you flow with it.
Yeah, much more natural.
How about you?
I get that. Yeah. One of the things I say is that you start recognizing his accent. So there's a way in which he becomes familiar. And if it's him who's talking to you, it really doesn't matter what the subject is in terms of importance. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be equally important because of who he is. And so you listen and you step into that. And if he's introducing ideas, a lot of designs came to us in pieces. And so he would, give you a piece. And if you didn't take it and play with it, you didn't get the next piece. And so it's, from his point of view, it's this relationship exercise. So he's playing with us in a kind way to just keep us engaged, because he loves the engagement. And we actually love it too. It's in the beginning, it's just not something we're familiar with. So he will do something to keep us in conversation so that we stay close to him. He won't give me the whole design if he can stretch it out to 3 or 4 days, because then he gets my attention for 3 or 4 days, not for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you recognize that, Emmy?
Yes. And what I also, you say you keep us engaged. And I would like to go to the social shelters that we have. And that is very funny, because the Lord is really keeping us engaged there. Me, every time there needs to be a contract, and it's like a totally different world for me, because it's all, in the social realm, etc. And there needs to be a contract, and there needs to be this, and there needs to be that. And we can fight as hard as we can, but we have every Tuesday, we have a prayer meeting. This morning, we had a prayer meeting. And every month, there's one miracle that I can talk about, about a number, an inkoop number, as the Dutch will recognize, that we need for a payment, and it didn't come, et cetera, et cetera. So there's so many things that are like, okay, another subsidy, we just get them in. I'm like, whoa, thank you, Lord.
So you are venturing out in this social world where what is kind of new for you.
Yeah, I did social studies when I was 18, but never done anything about it. And got on this board of, we started one shelter for women in The Hague, and now we started another shelter, never thinking that this would occupy me like 3 days a week. But right now it's a startup. It's just different. So, yeah, but we need a lot of input from the Lord. Now it's really about people, how to handle a person. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah, I've studied that kind of thing way back, but I don't know. But he can say, well, he just gives you more of the feeling how to handle somebody or this or that, and how to help somebody. So without him, this would even be like much more difficult for me.
So in closing, what would you advise listeners?
Be relaxed. The Lord's very relaxed, I think. He's having fun. And so you can have fun together. You can have fun doing business. I love doing business. It's fun. And if you work with him, you can be relaxed. I think I'm not easily relaxed. I used to be really like tense and going after things. And right now, you're like, it's going to be fine. And also, if it's not going to be fine, it's going to be fine.
Bill.
I just love our listeners to be aware of the possibilities that exist for them to find an AI company to get behind and support. And just wondering how many of them are being led by the Lord to establish these relationships. I have another friend who established a BAM company in India, but he never went there because he found people to work with him, for him. And I love that story about the AI connection with that couple, and want to see it really flourish. But I also feel like some of our listeners may have similar opportunities, but this never occurred to them to step into it, mm-hmm. and begin to look at what do they really need? How can I help them get launched or be supportive? So I'm so delighted that it's working out well for you.
Thank you.
Well, we've come to the end of our time again. And well, I enjoyed listening to you and hearing again new things. And thank you for being here, Emmy.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. And I always love to spend time with the two of you. So thanks.
Thank you, Emmy. Thank you, Kay, for letting me hang out with you again.
Yes. Okay. Till next time. This was Gea Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoose.com and check out the course on Kingdom Mindsets for Business, Life and Work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.